Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
We are back and we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire, UFC 255, the flyweight showcase, men's title on the line, Davison Figueiredo taking on Alex Turbo Perez, women's title also on the line, Valentina Bullet Shevchenko taking on Jennifer. I take advantage of poor Joanne Calderwood Maya. Fight IQ with you as always, presented by RotoWire. I am your host, Daily Fantasy Sniper. With me as always, the analyst, the co-host, the important guys here. It is Chris Olsen and Joe, also known as Sun Tzu. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I was waiting for Joe, but I'll take
it. You had to think about that for a while. I wanted to put you on edge because we hear that you have some controversial opinions. So,
I mean, that's the only thing I'm here for. You're the DFS guy, but
not nearly as controversial as.
No, probably not.
It's not. I was expecting. Oh, what did he do? What did he do? And I'm like, I'm one of.
It's not that bad, you know.
No, like, I've actually, you know what?
Well, I'm the only Perez, aren't I?
Yes, you're the only Perez in our group, but I've heard so much love for Perez that it actually bears talking about ownership-wise when we get there in the main event.
Yeah,
it's a pretty common underdog.
Yeah, you know, I've actually seen that too. I was surprised because I thought we would have a little bit more when I saw a little bit on Twitter, but I'm glad to stand alone as I usually do.
Look, I'm not as confident in my pick though, Chris. Well, but anyway, so Chris is good. I'm good. I'm coming off of actually a really good betting week. I gave out a Chick Whisperer parlay on Daily Fan MMA that paid 8-1, and including two underdogs in Ashley Yoder and Corey McKenna. So that was nice. I have another Chick Whisperer parlay which I'm going to give out tonight. I also gave it out on Alpha. So if you saw Alpha, it's not going to be news here, but it only includes one underdog. It will be the three female fights. One of those will be underdog. You'll have to wait to find out who my dog is. You all could probably guess. But I'm looking forward to this slate. There's some good prize pools out there. Despite Mike Perry, did anybody else miss weight, guys?
No.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. So,
and as of right now, we still have 12 fights. But
knock on wood.
This what I did on the DFS Army side too is this is my very, very, very strong recommendation. no people watching this podcast don't have to worry about it. It's worst case scenario, do not make your lineups until after weigh-ins. Best case scenario, you should probably be waiting until 2 or 3 Eastern time tomorrow.
Yeah. I got so possible. Messed up, guys. It cost me money. Like, that's why I didn't, you know, it cost me money, really. I got really messed up. I lost some money in DFS. I didn't get some contests in. I assume that DraftKings, I'm sorry, not DraftKings. I assume that the UFC was going to push the start time another half hour. So I'm actually made the rookie of all rookie mistakes. I left some contests unfilled because I thought I was going to have another half hour.
Yeah.
And I had a global swap into some of my lineups. So I had a real mess. You know, the one week I decide to play 56 lineups in the TV slate, I usually play a max of 20 and 100 lineups in the regular slate. And I have less than 30 minutes to do all my swaps. So I got all my swaps in, but I actually left some contests unfilled. So I'll put my hand up. I'm an idiot. Like, even guys who play pretty much every slate occasionally make a mistake, and I did. So, you know, nothing DraftKings could do about it. It was all the UFC.
Yeah, it was a rough situation. It was definitely – but, Joe, you know what, Joe? You know better than that. You know better.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So, anyway, let's talk about this card, guys. Let's break it down. First fight. Actually, before that, I got to say, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Season-long daily fantasy, all sports, tools, breakdowns, articles, all that good stuff. Got you covered. Chris, you got anything else before we start?
No, I'll work my little plugs in at the end. I'm sure that everybody is ready for us to get to it. So let's
do it.
First fight up. Louis Koske, 9,300, taking on Sasha Palatnikov at 6,900. Line on this fight, Koske, -475. Comeback on Palatnikov, +420. So all you 420ers should just go and throw all your money on Palatnikov and take my head-to-heads, please. A fight does not go to decision, -450. Who are we going to start with this week? I got to do math in my head here. If I want Chris to go last in the main event, that means I need him to go last on the second fight, which means I need Chris to start the day.
First here, yeah.
Oh.
That was impressive. I appreciate it. I will make a bit of a confession. I couldn't find much tape on Koske. I don't know if I'm alone there, but I basically found his contender series and then one amateur fight he had. So, I mean, he looks like a big, powerful guy who throws in combination. I know he's got a collegiate wrestling background. In the tape I saw in the regional fight, he does tend to mix the wrestling in well, although he didn't get a chance to do that in his contender series fight. He's just a big, powerful guy who throws shots, and that should be enough to put Palatnikov to sleep, because Palatnikov is a guy who seems to have gotten by using his strength by just throwing his opponents around. He likes to work a range kicking game slowly, and I don't think Koske is going to give him that opportunity. I think this probably ends in a finish for Koske, but I have to confess, I don't know too much about him. But from what I've seen, I think he probably gets the finish. I'm going to have him on the basis of that, and the pick is Koske.
Joe.
I don't have a whole lot to add. I honestly have not put a great deal of I've not put a ton of time into this fight. It looks like a mismatch to me on paper. So I am going to just piggyback off of Chris's commentary and go there.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I'll take a stab or two on Palatnikov just because big guy's kind of unproven, but I think the UFC is trying to give Koske a push. And this 9K range is something we're going to have to talk about here, because there's some big scores out here on this card. So all fights with big inside the distance props, you got Figueiredo, Rodriguez, Koske, and Shevchenko. And Shevchenko is 9,600, Koske 93, Rodriguez 91, Figueiredo 9,000. Like, a lot of decisions to be made up here as you're trying to slam in some of these favorites and who the live dogs are. Look, those are also... So they're high inside the distance prop fights. I think outside of Shevchenko, they're high volatility fights as well. And what that means is those are the type of fights the underdog wins at 8 to 10%, and that's how you win in a GPP. It's not a play I want to stick all my money on, but it's one that can win you a lot for a little with a lot of risk. It's just how these GPPs work. And in terms of how many you can fit, Kosuke is up, one of the favorites. I am going to mix in a ton. In terms of those dogs to take stabs on, I have another spot or two looking at. I just no more than a stab on Palatnikov for me. Next fight up, let's move on. Kyle Daukaus, not Chris Daukaus, who that's where my brain was when I was doing this last night. Kyle Daukaus, 8,800, taking on a name that's given me fits. Dustin Stoltzfus. Hey, yeah. I got it right.
Wow.
Look at me go. Line on this fight, Daukaus, minus 295. A little surprising to me. Stoltzfus, plus 265. Inside the distance prop on this one, minus 115. Pretty much even. Should see some grappling in this one, you would think, unless we get two grapplers canceling each other out. But either way, Joe, how do you have it?
Wow, I'm seeing Daukaus at minus 323. You know, look, there's a little bit of recency bias here. He looked good against Brendan Allen, who just actually got nuked by our boy Strickland. So I'm not sure how great that recency bias is. But I guess, again, this is another one of those like upper tier. Actually, it's mid-range. Well, yeah, I guess it's upper tier at 8.8K. It's another one of those fighters that I like. I just don't know how much I like him. I'll certainly pick him to win here. Again, he did look good against Brendan Allen, you know, who had a lot of steam and going into the fight with Strickland. I'll take Daukaus here, but it's not like a super enthusiastic pick. There are fighters that I like more in that range, both above and below, but I will pick Daukaus here for the win.
Chris.
Yeah, Daukaus strikes me as a very boom or bust kind of play. His style, is conducive to a lot of points, right? Because he marches forward, he tries to tie you up, he tries to take you down, he tries to do some things on the ground that's going to get you a lot of points. But if it stays on the feet, he's a lot like Allen. They're basically sieves. They allow damage if the fight stays on the feet. Stoltzfus looks like a strong guy. It looks like he's got sort of a strong base. I'm interested to see how he defends the takedowns of Daukaus. He looks like he has some power too. I don't know. I think that this fight is live for an upset just because I don't trust Daukaus if he can't get the fight to the floor. I'll pick him just because of the point potential, but I think this is one you have to be on the lookout for as live for an upset.
Yeah, I agree. I think Stoltzfus is incredibly live here. I think he could have some grappling success. I think this could turn into an ugly fight where grappling does cancel each other out and they're standing. But Kyle Daukaus isn't a world beater. I don't think Stoltzfus is a prospect. I know what Daukaus is. He's the rightful favorite, although minus 323 seems a little wide. And I'm not so sure Stoltzfus is good, or sorry, that Daukaus is going to go in there. Actually, I highly doubt Daukaus is going to go in there and smash him, which means 8,800. I don't have a lot of interest in that with all the guys up there I do think have potential to smash. And Stoltzfus being a live dog, one of the guys I'm going to mix in for sure. Probably one of my preferred underdog plays on the slate. Even if I am picking Daukaus to win straight up, because I do think it's going to be two grapplers that cancel. And I think Daukaus is striking is a tiny bit better, but for my DK, so that's my pick on the fight. For my DK lineups, I hope Stoltzfus is the better grappler than I think and ragdolls him around. Next fight up. Alon Joban, 8,300, taking on Jared Gordon at 7,900. Line on this fight. Joban is the favorite, minus 140. Night Train Gooden, plus 130 on the comeback. Joe, you're up first for this one, right? Or no, Chris. Chris, I swear to God, I thought Alon Joban was retired. Like, I saw his name pop up a few weeks ago when I started looking at this card, and I went, he's still fucking fighting?
Sorry, yeah.
It's weird, and you got Jared Gooden, who is a prospect who I think this community – who's listening to our podcast is very tied in to the MMA podcast community. And we probably, how do you know Jared Gooden? Jared Gooden is Daniel Levy's boy. And like, that's how I think a lot of people know him. I don't think it's going to affect ownership too much because it's a relatively small community, but I think it's an interesting thing that I think people who we all know and kind of talk to on Twitter are going to be rooting for him. And I do think he wins this fight and we get to see a Daniel Levy victory lap on Twitter talking about NFC. Chris, who do you got?
I think it's close, but I'm going to give the slight edge to Joe Bann here. I just think that Gooden has a tendency to stand up a little bit too tall, and that gets him tagged. And I like the pressure Joe Bann brings, obviously, like you said. I think it's been a little more than a year and a half, I think, since we've seen him. One of the things that I worry about is he's shown kind of a glass chin. He got knocked out by Nico Price, right? And that's not nobody's gonna fault him for that. But he also took the shot from what's his name and got subbed a little after that, who I'm forgetting. SBG.
SBG.
That's the camp.
Yeah.
Wait,
what are you talking about?
Wait, you're talking about Joe Bann, right?
No, you think
I'm talking Nelson about Gunnar Nelson?
Gunnar.
And I'm worried that he's a little chinny. I still think that
his only win since 2017 is Ben Saunders.
And that was kind of a war, if I remember.
That was dicey. It was two. He scored a lot. He got two knockdowns, but they if I remember right, it was a war early.
Yeah, right. Okay. So yeah, hard to trust Alan Joe Bann for sure. I think he has advantages here. He's liable to be knocked out. So I think the fight is close, and I think you should get some Gooden in your lineups. Gooden also might try to wrestle a little bit, although I don't know if he will actually want to. We don't see it a lot, but Joe Bann does have the 10th Planet stuff. So we'll see how that goes. But the pick is Joe Bann, but this is another one that kind of could go either way.
Joe, tell me you're with Gooden here. I think Bann's age is going to get to him. I think Gooden's is a good matchup for him against somebody who's chinny. Gooden has power.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little – look, I mean, if this was the 2016 version of – you know, if this was the – look, Joe Bann is going to be 39 next week, and the week after, Gooden's going to turn 27, right? So – you know, there's a 12-year age discrepancy between the two. If this was the 2016 version of Joe Bann, I would give him a clear edge over Night Train Gooden. And I really do want to root or push or pull, whatever the correct verbiage is, for Night Train Gooden. I do have some concerns, though, against Night Train Gooden in that he's not as defensive as I would like to see. And he is kind of open to be hit. And if Joe Bann has like a vestige of his former self in him, like the guy that beat Mike Perry back in 2016, you know, I think he could get the win here. I'm also concerned with some of the losses that, Night Train Gooden's had, you know, like he was KO'd, in the first round against the cage by Bruno Oliveira. He lost to Mike Graves' decision. I'm a little concerned about those fights. I'm a little concerned about how relatively easy it is for him to get hit. I hate to say this. My lean here is Joe Bann, but I certainly think that you should have both sides of this fight in DraftKings. But if I need to make an official pick, and I hate myself for doing this, my official pick is going to be Joe Bann, but you know, I'm really going to be rooting for Night Train Gooden.
My official pick is Gooden, as you said earlier, but I will say that I'm going to have it's a good GPP fight to target both sides. They'll have more Gooden, but don't ignore Joe Bann because Gooden can be hit. And if Joe Bann, we've seen him knock people out previously. The path is there in the mid range. Anything ends in the first round. These guys are ending up in the optimal lineup. You know what? I'm going to point out a comment here from Ryan. Everyone go smash the like button.
Yes.
Hit like, hit subscribe. I haven't done this in a long time. Everybody go follow us on Twitter at Real Chris Olsen, at Sun Tzu, at Sniper underscore
DFS. I'll just leave that up there for a sec. Everybody absorb it and go and come back.
Soak it in.
Yeah.
Soak in and click the like button. All right, moving on.
Can we swap? Because I want to go first next fight. Can Chris, can you go first again this fight?
I don't. We're not on the fight you want to go. You're waiting for a female fight, right?
Yes. Am I going at it? No, I'm saying, can Chris go first this coming fight? And then the female fight is the fight after, right?
God, I'm so confused.
Where are
we? All right. You know what? I'm going to keep it as is, and we'll make an adjustment later.
Okay, thank you.
Daniel Rodriguez, 9,100. Take on Nicholas Dalby at 7,100. Line on this fight, Rodriguez minus 320. Dalby is plus 290. Fight does not go to decision. Minus 145. Should be a fun one. These guys like to throw. Both like to get after it. I think Rodriguez is more durable. I've always been down on Nicholas Dalby. I think he's a nice guy. I just don't think he's a very good fighter. I'm the one who, now granted, Jesse Ronson just popped for steroids, but I was all over Ronson in that spot. Can't get the same odds here. Rodriguez, big favorite, but it's one I'm jumping on. And now you guys have totally fucked me up. So you know what, well, Joe, you messed me up. You go first.
Okay, I'll go, but I'm going first next fight.
All right, fine.
Okay, so look, Daniel Rodriguez was essentially a handpicked opponent for another fighter on this card. And you know, we all kind of know who that is, right? He was a handpicked opponent for Tim Means, you know, going back, in February, you know, New Mexico card, Tim Means, got nuked by Daniel Rodriguez. And then he comes back and he fights a short notice replacement, a guy that hadn't fought in several years, Gabe Green. I want to say that like that stack probably was unoptimal, because of the amount of significant strikes that both fighters were awarded in that fight. And he wins a really dominant decision against Gabe Green. Fast forward to his fight against Dwight Grant, and he nukes Dwight Grant. So this guy has got a second-round finish against Tim Means, a decision finish against Gabe Green, where he landed a quadrillion significant strikes, and a first-round KO of Dwight Grant. Now, in that fight, he was a 2-1 favorite. I have to go with Rodriguez here. I mean, I think it's a fairly solid GPP fight. But let's be real. Dalby's only got 3 losses. He's a crafty guy, but he is 36 years old. You know, this is his second tenure in the UFC. He's got a decision win over Cowboy Oliveira, although that is becoming, you know, less of a great look. You know, hasn't fought in over a year. He's had some fights, as Deshaun's point. He got that no contest fight in July against Jesse Ronson. You know, but I have to go with Rodriguez here. I think Rodriguez can certainly nuke him. Although, you know, I will have a few shares of Dalby. He is a crafty veteran. You know, Rodriguez is on a 3-fight winning streak. I think he's going to be overowned. So maybe a few shares of Dalby, but give me Rodriguez for the win.
I'll be way under on Dalby. Chris.
Before I go, I there's some explosive reporting in the chat. Joe, can you confirm or deny this?
Hang on one second. What are we talking about? I heard Sun Tzu is a shill for DK.
Yeah.
I get no money by anybody. By the way, I can't take compensation from any place else because it would go against my current day job.
So right. Now, and if you're talking about some of the VIP stuff, if you two spend enough money entering contests,
yes,
DraftKings will send you all the shit that you'll get invited to stuff. It's fantastic.
If you want to say I'm a shill because I don't play on FanDuel, fine. Like I don't like the FanDuel's technology. I don't like how long they take to update contests.
Their scoring in like every sport is insane. I think the only sport where it's just different and not inferior,
yeah,
is probably baseball.
Okay.
I think baseball is fine. It's different, but yeah, I don't think it's anything.
And I don't play baseball. And you know, here's the thing, like I'm a finance guy, and what DraftKings did very smartly, in my opinion, is make their website look a lot like a Bloomberg terminal. A Bloomberg terminal is something that pretty much anyone who works in finance uses. And it looks a lot like that. So that's kind of initially what attracted me to Jared. I love the website. I love the technology. I just don't like, you know, I just don't like the FanDuel experience. I mean, I was excited when they first came out with MMA. I played a couple of slates. Again, I just did not really feel all warm and fuzzy about it. Maybe I'll go back at some point, but I do not get any compensation at all from DraftKings.
I think I've had some chat comments with or conversation with Rob before. He's just messing with you.
Yeah, I know.
And it's one of those. It's funny.
He loves you.
We're doing a podcast for Roto. I don't think we should say FanDuel sucks. I don't like their product and the sports that they put out. I'm primarily MMA and soccer, and those are just, you know, it's different conversation for.
Yeah, they're bandwagon guys. They follow DraftKings.
The opinions of chat is not necessarily the opinions of.
Opinions of this podcast are this not podcast. The opinion
there you go.
Of
there
anybody you go. At RotoWire.
Right, exactly.
Enjoy True. The occasional freestyle. True.
These are all our individual opinions and do not in any way, shape, or form constitute an opinion of RotoWire as our sponsor.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. And DraftKings loves me so much. I'm not quite on Joe's level. Occasionally I'll get an email. That's pretty much it. It takes a lot, guys. It takes a lot. But Joe gets done. You know, you win a couple of GPPs, you reinvest, you too can be a DraftKings shill. Let's move on.
Yeah, you too will get invited to the occasional plus not
what are we doing right now? Who's going?
I don't know. Having fun.
Okay, so no, we're up to the female fight, right?
Go. Joe's just making the rules here all of a sudden.
I agree with Dalby, and Dalby is underweight and you should play the other guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, the first thing that I'll say is I don't really care that Ronson popped. I mean, what, you're gonna tell me he wouldn't hit him with a counter shot if he didn't take steroids? So
true.
I mean,
steroid, by the way.
I think it was
Anabol.
Okay.
It was something. I remember looking it up quick and going, oh, that's not good. I'm gonna confirm because I don't want to accuse somebody, but I'm pretty sure it was an anabolic steroid. While we're on this, I don't wanna yes. And yep.
All right, let's pull it.
It is substance called metadienone. I was right. It's an androgen and anabolic steroid.
All right. Well, that does not change my opinion. In any event,
it doesn't change the money I won on him. So I don't give a shit.
That's the most important thing. But yeah, one thing that I think is a key word for this card and a couple fights coming up is pace. And Sean alluded to it. This is going to be a really high pace fight between two guys. Dalby is always open to that counter shot. He always just sort of flails and moves forward. And I think Rodriguez is probably catches him out in the same way Ronson did. But if he doesn't, you know, Dalby can overwhelm Rodriguez. I don't see it happening, especially that jab that Rodriguez has too. I think he's going to frustrate Dalby until he finally knocks him out. So my pick is Rodriguez, but this is another fight where they're going to be high-paced, and whoever wins is going to score really well. So keep it in mind.
Agreed.
Next fight up. It is the women's fight. Antonina Shevchenko, 8,400, taking on Ariane Lipsky at 7,800. Line on this fight, Antonina Shevchenko, -150. Ariane Lipsky, +140. Fight goes to decision, -265. My big recommendation for this fight, as it comes on, hit fucking mute. Just watch this fight on mute.
Hey.
Do not. Under any circumstance, watch this fight with volume. Unless Valentina Shevchenko's in the back or not there yet because she's getting ready. But I think she'll be out there courting her sister.
No, she's not. She's not. I heard she is not.
She's not going to corner?
No, she will not.
All right. You guys, you can put volume on. But when Caitlin Chookagian comes out, you can hit mute again. So anyway, Joe, you wanted to go first so badly. So I assume, like me, you're on the underdog here?
I did, yeah. And here's the thing. Look, I just had a really nice debate with Greg Ehrenberg on the special Double Secret Probation Alpha podcast we did. And this is the linchpin of my Chick Whisperer 2.0 parlay. Unfortunately, Greg is on the other side of this fight, as is my boy Adam Newsom. Although Adam Newsom did predict that the line would go up to like minus 175, minus 180 in Shevchenko's favor, and it's actually not. It's gone down, at least on DraftKings Sportsbook. I bet it at plus 140. It's currently plus 130. Full transparency, I bet to win $1,000 on Arian Lipsky. This is one of my Outrun the Bear specials. And for those of you guys that don't know what an Outrun the Bear special is, if there are two people standing around and a bear is charging at them, you don't have to really worry about outrunning the bear. You have to worry about outrunning the other person, because once the bear gets one person, you're pretty much in the clear. So I am not saying by any way, shape, and means that Arianna Lipsky is a great fighter. I just think she is better than Shevchenko, who, if she did not have the last name Shevchenko, would not be in the UFC. There is a reason why at 36 years of age, she is, it took her to, I think she was maybe 35 or 34 at the time, why it took her so long to get into the UFC, even with a famous sister. I just don't think she's a real rounded MMA fighter. Chookagian, who had not like attempted a takedown since Crocs were cool, put her wrestling game to work and took her down a lot, and couldn't get the finish, but took her down. Lipsky is not known as a ground fighter, but she won her last fight by submission. It was kind of a weird fight.
It was. Don't watch that finish again.
Yeah, it was a weird fight. The
knee bar.
Her opponent screamed in pain. She has a few other, she has at least one other submission on her record. The only concern I have here is I do not know if Lipsky did this camp at Kings MMA. Kings MMA, good training partners, top notch gym, especially on the West Coast. If she did her camp at Kings and had some good training partners, I would hope that, her corner people, will, institute this game to get Shevchenko down to the ground. Yes, I could maybe concede that Shevchenko might be a little bit of a better striker, but Lipsky's got far more MMA fights. Guys, before you ask, I'm not picking Lipsky because she's the better looking fighter. I really do kind of like her here. So I'm a little concerned about, Greg being on the other side of this fight. But I do like Lipsky here at plus 140. I think she is an interesting play on DraftKings at 7.8K, because I do think that the line should be flipped, and it still may be, but I do think the line should be flipped and she should be the favorite. So I like her here. She's my pick to win. I'm not sure how much DraftKings exposure I'm going to have, because if this goes to a decision, I could see it being fairly low scoring unless Lipsky puts her ground game to work and, get some takedowns, some advances, and perhaps even gets a finish. Plus 650 by submission. I was hoping for a little bit higher than that. But just summing all things up, my pick here is Lipsky.
Don't worry, Joe. I'm with you. Because think if Chookagian can do that to Shevchenko, then I see no reason why Arianna Lipsky could. And if she has that game plan, trusting a fighter's game plan is always dangerous. It burns you a lot. It was a fight. Yeah, I was pretty high on Brendan Allen last week. And I saw a lot of sharp money coming in on Strickland, so thankfully it backed off just a little bit. But what the hell is Brendan Allen doing? You're not going to shoot one takedown in that fight?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, what kind of game plan what are we doing?
Striking with a striker makes no sense.
And it happens a bunch, so trusted game plans can be dicey. Arian Lipsky, I do think has more power in the feet, and either way, on DraftKings, the path to victory they have, I think Lipsky just has more upside, more likely to end up in the optimal. So she's my pick as well. Chris, what do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and be on Team Greg here. I just think that Shevchenko...
You're a shill for Team Greg. You're a shill.
I'm still waiting for that check, by the way, if he's listening. Yeah. But I just think that on the feet, Shevchenko's game has way more depth to it than Lipsky's does. Lipsky just seems to swing wildly and hope that you fall over. That's why Isabel Di Padua was able to just level change and put her on her back. Shevchenko probably won't do that, but I wouldn't rule out the fact that she might go for a takedown. The thing about, these are both Muay Thai kickboxers, but they're both kind of scrambly on the ground. Obviously, Lipsky looks for legs. That's a fun little phrase. Lipsky looks for legs to snap, and And obviously we saw Shevchenko get the rear naked choke over Pudlova. So it'll be interesting if this fight hits the ground. But as you said, you can't trust the game plan, particularly so if it's not in that fighter's regular wheelhouse to do that. I mean, Brandon Allen is...
It wasn't his wheelhouse, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was supposed to go for takedowns and didn't. Lipsky's really not. So she may... I think she's going to have to, because, as I said, I think that the depth of striking game is well in the corner of Shevchenko here. Also, the 2-inch height advantage, I think, is going to be important, because she likes to grab that that tie plum and go to work there. So that'll be good too. Again, if it hits the ground, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I'm going Shevchenko here. I just think she's going to pretty much outclass her as long as it stays on the feet.
All right, next fight up. All right, this is going to be an interesting one to talk about. Joaquin Buckley, 8,900, taking on Jordan Wright at 7,300. Line on this fight, Buckley's minus 230, Wright is plus 210. Fight does not go to decision, minus 515. All right, guys, I'm going to go first this time a little bit.
Don't you always go first?
I'm going to go a little bit further in depth here.
Okay, I get it.
One of the biggest things to be profitable in DFS is understanding the game of DFS. Variance, game theory, all these terms. And the one that you should all be familiar with is recency bias. And this line, to me, is the definition of recency bias. Not that Joaquin Buckley shouldn't be favored here, but minus, what did I say again? Minus 230? It's actually come down a little bit now that I say it, just said that out loud. Yeah, he opened, so sharp bettors are on the way here. This is a good example. Joaquin Buckley opened minus 365. And that line has come on down. Because, look, as great as the knockout over Impa Kasangane was, it is a little bit, not fluky, but you're not going to end up in that spot very often. Like, it was great technique, good awareness, caught him, great. You can't rely on knockouts, especially in MMA. Like, it's not Francis Ngannou in there. He's got a lot of power, and he's live here. And not live. He still is my pick to win. I could not pull the trigger on Jordan Wright, because Jordan Wright, I've seen deaded before and is susceptible to power. But Jordan Wright has this karate style. He's a good striker in himself. He's not, like, he's probably about on the level of Buckley, a little under. Like, to me, this fight should be lined around minus 170 to 190 in that range for Buckley. But everybody's on Buckley. Everybody's talking about the power. Everybody's seen all this. He's going to be chalk. I'm also not saying don't eat some of that chalk. I'm saying get some of the other side. I think Jordan Wright is, if he gets a decision win with the karate style on this card at his price, could be enough. If he catches Buckley, because he's a decent striker, the karate style can give aggressive guys issues. I think he's live to a knockout for sure. I'm going to be overweight to both sides of this fight, minus 515 inside the distance. If the chalk hits, all right, I'm playing. I'm fine. If recency bias rears its ugly head and everybody's wrong and you need Jordan Wright to win, I am going to be way ahead of the field. And even if you don't agree with that spot in terms of DFS, I highly recommend you pick one or two of those spots that I call nuts on the table spots in GPPs every card. You need to be significantly different in one or two spots if you want to win a GPP. For me, over Wright and Jordan Wright's going to be those. Just all these podcasts and what we do, I think, is great. And they're entertaining, and hopefully you guys have fun. But if you want to make money, it's not just fight picks. It's just not. There's more to DFS than that. So, nugget of information, take it for what you will. Hope you guys aren't sick of my rambling. Now that you say that, this is going to be a fun fight, and Buckley could knock him. Either way, I think someone's going to sleep. Chris, who do you think is going night-night?
Yeah, well, I mean, I echo your sentiments. You do have to differentiate on cards like this, and if you're going to differentiate, you may as well differentiate in a fight where somebody's going to get knocked out either way. So that's a good spot for it. Having said all that, I hate the way Jordan Wright fights. I mean, I really, really hate it. Stands up tall, backs himself up against the fence, is just a terrible recipe for an athletic guy who hits really hard like Buckley does. Wright's two fights that we've seen him gets absolutely murked by Anthony Hernandez. And then The flat-footed Ike Villanueva does the same thing, backs himself up, but Villanueva plods his way onto a kick. Joaquin Buckley is not going to do that. And if he hadn't hit him with the kick, who knows what happens, because he traps him up against the defense again, and Villanueva hits hard. So he might have been a couple minutes away from getting knocked out in that fight too. I can't run it back. I don't have a time machine, but I'm just saying he was going to put himself in the bad spot again. The thing about the karate style, as Sean mentioned, is he needs space for those kicks. So if you're going to back yourself up against the fence, you're not going to have time for the kicks unless the one moment where he caught Villanueva, where he's coming in. That's such a thin margin, and he's going to have a couple other spots here, but I highly doubt that Joaquin Buckley's going to walk onto a shot like that. I think he's going to have to pick him apart a little bit first. And it's just hard. I mean, we saw Buckley has a little bit of a wrestling game too. We saw that early in the fight with Kasangane.
Just going back to the movement thing, I agree. One of the reasons why I couldn't ultimately pull the trigger on Jordan Wright as a straight up pick is we're in a small cage in the apex. He has less room to work.
That's exactly right. If he has even less room for the terrible style that he likes. So,
I'm saying overweight and underdog, and Chris is beating me down. What's happening?
Well, yeah, I know. It's the Twilight Zone. What the heck did I just do? I don't know. But I agree. Game theory dictates that you should have a low-owned underdog in a fight where somebody's going to get finished. But I think the most likely outcome here is Jordan Buckley wins by knockout early. So
let's see if you like that aggressive take I just played out or the one I'm going to give you later in the podcast. Which one gets you more angry?
Well, that one at least makes sense to me, so I'm anxious.
The other one should make sense to me.
Okay.
We'll get there. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so I don't like anything about Jordan Wright. I mean, it's not too often you get nuked the way that he did in Dana White's Contender Series and actually get a fight in the UFC. I mean, I think it was a perfect storm that got him that win in that fight. Smaller cage. Buckley's inside the distance prop, I think, is one of the best on this entire slate. I love him on DraftKings at this price point. Give me a lot of Jordan Buckley. Give me very little Hollywood Ninja here. It's pretty much it.
Buckley inside the distance minus 160. Right inside the distance plus 300.
I like minus 160 better.
Well, clearly, but it's also a $1,600 difference on DraftKings.
I know.
Moving on. Like, and just to be clear on my stance, if Buckley knocks him out in the first round, I'm going to be just fine. GPP. Moving on. Brandon Moreno, 8,600, taking on Brandon Royval at 7,600. Line on this fight. Moreno minus 175. Royval plus 165 on the comeback. Fight goes to decision. Does not go to decision. I can say either because it's pick 'em. Minus 110 apiece. Fun fight. I've come around on Brandon Moreno. I used to tear him up thinking he was not that good. I've been proved wrong. But again, he gets a really tough matchup against the guy I like. I'm still going to take Moreno. I think this is a fun fight that is going to be better to watch than it is for DraftKings. Joe, who you got?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because part of my process, and again, apologies for those of you that have heard this before, but part of my process is I like to make a lineup as soon as prices drop, right from the gut, no research. And so the first lineup that I made, I included, you know, Royval in that lineup. And then I, you know, as kind of the week, you know, and that's the only lineup I've made so far, to be completely transparent. And then as the week kind of wore on, I started like, you know, doing my regular research. And I'm like, man, you know, the way that Moreno has looked recently, like he's literally on the verge of you know, top five. I mean, you know, like he is really good. You know, watching his performances and the way that he's just evolved as a fighter. And if you look at Royval was losing moments of his last two wins, you know, like before Tim Elliott just gassed, he was winning that fight. Right. And, you know, Elliott only has a round of cardio now because that's all he seems to train. You know, and, you know, same thing with Kai Kara-France. So, you know, I get it. I don't think that Moreno is going to wear down like those other two guys did. I think Moreno is a better technical fighter. I think Royval is interesting because of his price point, and I'll probably have a few shares on DraftKings. But I do actually really like Brandon Moreno to win this fight.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is I think this could be a sneaky target just because of the word I mentioned before, pace. I mean, these guys are – Royval is just makes you fight him and makes you fight him at a really high rate. And I think this could easily be high scoring. I think – I mean, the interesting thing is these guys have a lot of finishes, but neither one has either – no opponent has ever finished one of them. So that's interesting to me. I think this could be a first time just because, as I said, not only do they fight fast, but Royval is has a real problem with hanging his chin up in the air as he's in the pocket. It almost cost him against Kai Kara-France. The only reason he didn't is because he was able to pull a spinning back elbow out of his ass and turn the fight. If he hadn't done that, it might have been a very different story for him. And I like Moreno since he came back. I think his range is better. His sense of range is better. I think he's even sitting down on some strikes more. We did see him get stuck on the bottom a little bit against Jussie Formiga, which is a bit concerning in a matchup like this. But I still think he's good enough on the ground to at least survive. And as I said, I think this has the chance to be a high-scoring fight just because the pace these guys are going to fight at and the defensive liabilities of both, really, but more so Royval and the way he hangs his chin. I'm going to take Moreno here just because I don't trust Royval. I'm kind of waiting for the wheels to fall off. I thought it was going to be the Kai Kara-France fight. It almost was. It wasn't. I think it's going to happen here. So give me Moreno in what should be a crazy fight that could sneakily translate to some points, I think.
I am also staying on Moreno. Just hard to justify a ton of either of these guys, but I'm going to mix in both sides because of the value. All right, next fight up. This is going to be bananas. Like, the rematch, none of us really want to see, but we're going to watch it.
Oh,
Paul Craig, 8,500, taking on Mauricio Shogun-Hua at 7,700. Line on this fight, Paul Craig, minus 160. Shogun-Hua is plus 150. Fight does not go to decision, minus 125. I personally think there's some value here. I don't think we're seeing the judges this time. Some context, the last time they had this matchup, Shogun-Hua closed as a minus 265 favorite. And this time, Craig opened at minus 180. So, you know, Hua also looked a little soft on the scales today. I did not like the way he looked at all. He looks his age. He looks like he's just about done. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, well, that was the first thing I wanted to talk about is where does that line movement come from? We've already seen these guys fight, and arguably who will won that fight. I mean, it was a draw, I think, right? So, which is why they have to settle the score in this highly anticipated.
You could argue the reason is that Paul Craig caught him, emptied his gas tank trying to finish Shogun-Hua, couldn't do it, and Shogun-Hua took over late.
Right, but he was never hurt. I mean, he was in the corner. He was covering up, waiting to counter a punch. And then Craig...
And then Shogun was getting takedowns, which is bizarre.
Well, and that's the thing I wanted to talk about, too, which is I think that's his path here. Look, Craig was using his length and his kicking game pretty well. I will never trust Paul Craig to kickbox for three rounds. I don't think he can physically do it. That's just not what he does. If you watch this guy in what I think was Cage Warriors, maybe it was some other promotion, but the way he got his wins was pulling guard and getting submissions. That was like all of his wins. This guy's not going to kickbox for three rounds even if he's winning. And when he tries to take it to the floor, Shogun is the better jiu-jitsu guy. We saw, especially in round three, he kept trying to throw up arm bars. He kept trying to throw up triangles. Shogun was just like, yeah, that's cute, and passing over his legs. And he did it very easily. I think Shogun is going to be a committed wrestler here because I think he knows that's where he wins this fight most easily. And I think it's Craig's nature to stay on the ground and try to get subs. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think we could see the bell for that reason. unless Shogun submits Paul Craig, which I think can happen. I mean, we've seen Paul Craig submit it before, so I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. But yeah, I don't like Paul Craig here. I don't even know that he can hurt Shogun. I mean, he had him up against the fence, as I said, and Shogun was just sort of high guard waiting to counter. He never looked hurt to me. So I don't know. I don't get the line flip. I think it's way maybe people thinking that Shogun's done, and they didn't like the last fight against Little Nog, where he didn't look great. But I mean, this is still Paul Craig, folks, and I just can't trust him. He has to win. He wins most of his fights by using jiu-jitsu. He can't win this fight by jiu-jitsu, so I think he's going to lose it. So my pick is Shogun.
Yeah, I continue to not be able to pick Shogun Hua. I mean, sorry, Paul Craig, ever. I just can't. I can't do it. But I will say Paul Craig has got upside in this fight. I'm sorry. I've seen Shogun Hua submitted before. Chael Sonnen submitted Shogun Hua. Like, let's not forget that.
Right, but we already saw him try and he couldn't do it. He easily.
Different fight. I hate that narrative. It is my least favorite narrative in all of MMA. And you can look at a fighter on this card that we've seen. Rematches. I think it's the exception to the rule when rematches look like the first fight. It's happened before. We've seen them play out similarly. Figueiredo, Benavidez. See, we've seen it. It does happen. But I think that's more the exception. Things like Tim Means, Cowboy Oliveira. You see one fight one way, and they come back, and everything is flipped on its head. It's totally different. I don't like that Shogun Hua is older. I'm still taking Shogun Hua. I agree with you. I think he has some advantages there. I just think for DFS, Paul Craig has the higher ceiling. I don't think Shogun is going to be able to get Paul Craig out of there early. And, you know, he doesn't really need to at his price. A win gets him there. But Paul Craig, if he decides to... He got taken down, by the way. I think a lot of it was because of the gas tank. I'm interested to see what happens if Shogun Hua shoots a takedown with Paul Craig on a full gas tank. I'm not saying he's not going to get it. I'm just not convinced either way. I think Paul Craig has the upside to get a first round finish, and at some point the wheels are going to fall off of Shogun Hua. Like, it's just, he's going to get knocked out. That's just what happens with old guys. Paul, again, all this stuff, is Paul Craig going to be the one to do it? I don't know. I just think I'm picking Hua, but Paul Craig has more GPP upside for me. Joe, who you got?
Okay, so this is a GPP fight. You should have both sides. My favorite pick in this fight is -134 not to go the distance. That's what I really like in this fight.
I said that in the open. That line is weird.
Yeah, I don't understand that line at all. I unless they just like lay and pray, I'm not really sure why this fight would go the distance. Especially with the way as soft as Hua looks, I may actually have to make a bet straight with that, but I'm probably going to put it in a parlay. So I guess I'm going to take. I guess I'm going to take Paul Craig here, because you're right. I didn't see all the weigh-ins, but I did see kind of a photo of Shogun. Did not like the way he looked. Thought he was very fortunate to get a victory against Little Nog.
By the way, in terms of recency bias, a good example here, when they had this fight the first time, fight does not go to decision, closed at on Five Dimes, -265.
Yeah.
On Bet365, -333. And on Bet Online, -500.
I don't get the line at all. I honestly don't get the line. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm going to take Craig, and I think the best play in this map, the best play in this fight is to bet the does not go the distance -134.
Can I offer up maybe a little?
Sure.
Scenario on, what do you got? What do you got for
on
us?
Why this might go the distance? I really think that one or the other gets a takedown, and they play on the ground, and they're both good at jiu-jitsu, so they neutralize each other, and they stay there, and that's three rounds.
Okay, well, possible. Could happen. Possible,
but I think it's less than a 50-50 chance I'm getting value there. All right, next fight up. Another chick whisperer fight. I don't even know where we are in the order, so I'm going to let Joe go first on it.
Thank you.
Cynthia Calvillo, 8,700, taking on Caitlin Chukagian at 7,500. Line on this fight. Calvillo -245. Chukagi in the comeback is +225. Fight goes to decision -350. Striker versus grappler, though Chukagian has, I think, an underrated BJJ and grappling game. I do think Calvillo's is better. Big line. Joe, we looking at recency bias here? Calvillo on the upswing, Chukagian off of that loss to Andrade. Who you got?
Yeah, look, let's be – okay. So I don't like the line. I would not make a wager at this price, and I think it's even moving more in Calvillo's favor. I think I see it on DK Sportsbook is like -265. Look, I do like Calvillo to win here. I mean, Chukagian's crafty. She's shown she has some wrestling. You know, she's a better striker than Calvillo. But we all know where Cavillo's path to victory is, right? It's on the ground. Calvillo is the second piece of my parlay. It is, honestly, I'm a bit more confident in Lipsky here, which, you know, it was the same last week where I was more confident in Ashley Yoder than I was in Murata, the fighter who fought, Randa Marcos. So I am a bit more confident in Lipsky. Maybe not by much, but I do like Calvillo here. I'm going to pick her, but like -265 against someone who just fought for the title. I don't know, man. You know, I think it's tough. I do think Calvillo gets the win here. I can see her, certainly see her locking up a sub, you know, but so give me Calvillo here. But I don't know if I would endorse a bet at -265.
Yes, same. It's one of those for DraftKings, though. I'm really worried about the scoring in this fight. I think it's at range because there's no takedowns. It doesn't score very high, or Calvillo gets takedowns, and it's kind of – I don't think she can finish Chukagi. So I don't see a lot of ceiling either way. I'm also going to take Calvillo for the win. Chris, who do you have?
Yeah, I agree with that take. I think I think that's the most likely way that it does play out, where Calvillo gets her takedowns, can't take or rather can't sub Chukagian, and we get like a I don't know, like a 75-86 kind of score, something like that, on the high end. But yeah, I like Calvillo here. I think she gets her takedowns. Most people can against Caitlin Chukagian. I guess maybe she just doesn't care if she gets taken down generally because she thinks I have my jiu-jitsu. But Calvillo is better at jiu-jitsu, probably. We all remember the gator roll she hit early. I don't remember against who, but
Pearl Gonzalez.
No, it was before her. I think I'm gonna look it up now since I made myself curious. I believe it must have been my girl Amanda Bobby Cooper. I think
Amanda Bobby Cooper.
ABC. Remember that time you got -130 on Cynthia Calvillo against ABC?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
Those were the days, my friend.
I didn't pick her in that fight.
Or -165 against Pollyanna Botello.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think her jiu-jitsu is really slick. I do think it's going to cancel. Kagan's height, that is, makes things interesting. I mean, before Andrade got that finish, she was eating knees on the way in, and so, you know, it's interesting. Chukagian is no joke as kind of a Muay Thai striker, especially if you're going to crowd in on her looking for takedowns. So that it's interesting from that perspective. But, again, I think the most likely scenario is sort of a cashy kind of win for Calvillo with wrestling. So that's the pick, is Calvillo.
All right, next fight up. Oh, we have so much to talk about. We're going over tonight, guys. And usually I get all upset about going over, and I feel like you guys don't want to listen, but – I think we're being pretty entertaining. I'm killing it. You guys are doing all right.
Obviously. Well,
but we got some fun stuff to talk about coming up. Like, I'm really excited for each of these next three fights. So here we go. Platinum Mike Perry, 8,200, taking on Tim the Dirty Bird Means at 8,000. Line on this fight, Mike Perry. It's coming down. It's shrinking. -120. Come back on come means. Oh, God. Comeback.
Jesus, did you just say come means and it's shrinking in the same breath?
I absolutely did. Oh, you want to know why? Because I'm excited to make money. Tim Means is going to bring me the monies this week.
Oof.
Fight does not go to decision. -145. Tim Means, come here, bring me some money. As Mike Perry, by the way, just total side note. Also, Mike Perry missed weight by 4.5 pounds. Posted the rant on Twitter. He's obviously got some personal issues. His pregnant girlfriend's in his corner for, you know, another fight. No real corner. Admitted he has an alcohol problem. He's always made weight, and he was talking stuff on Twitter. The dude, like 2 weeks ago, was posting pictures of himself pounding hamburgers and pizza. So, like, there, that is the epitome of unprofessional. That's who Mike Perry is. But just in case you're like, oh, he's never missed before, and this, there's something going on with him. He's, I don't know if it's CTE or just his lifestyle or who he is, and we see it more, but he's slowly coming unraveled. And it's a little scary to watch, quite honestly. But in terms of this fight, we have a brawler in Perry against a better MMA fighter in Means. The interesting thing about this, though, is Perry is so damn tough that historically he's the kind of guy who can wear on Tim Means and knock him out. It just, it's stylistically, that's why Mike Perry was favored like minus 160 earlier in the week. I'm on Means as the better fighter. I think it's just knockout or bust for Platinum Perry. He hasn't had a knockout since 2017. I believe he hits hard, but we haven't seen him finish anyone. I think, unfortunately, the rails are coming off of Perry's personal life, and we're going to see a loss here. And I sincerely hope he gets it back together, because he is a fun character for the sport. So give me Tim Means. I think there's sneaky upside here. It's not an all-in fight, despite the line and the mid-range fight, because Perry's so damn tough. Means could just hit him for 3 rounds and get 80 points in a decision. That could be what happens. So give me Tim Means for this fight. Chris, who you got?
This is, I was talking to you, Sean, a little bit about this before we came on. This is a fight that I think Mike Perry almost has to win, because I look at it and I think Tim Means is so much better. He's just so much better. How is he ever the dog? It has to be a trap. So in that kind of spot, I'm always expecting Perry to win, or the other guy to win. But look, in Perry's last fight against Mickey Gall, Mickey came out and was putting it on him in round one, striking. Mike Perry was just stalking forward and throwing big shots, and eventually wore on Perry, who has had gas tank problems in the past. Mike Perry has definitely gotten worse since he's gotten here. Maybe that's – I mean, everything sort of fell apart at once for him. You know, he's got whatever the hell's going on with his personal life and accusations of, you know, hitting his ex-girlfriend and the alcoholism and the weird meltdowny rants on Twitter and whatever else. And now no camp. So what kind of training is he getting? And it's just a perfect storm of nothingness. And I have to believe that you can't just come off the bus and beat a guy like Tim Means. Like, it has to be harder than that. Means is a really clever boxer. He, first of all, he's going to have a pretty sizable length advantage. I think it's 4 inches. So that's going to be important. But Means looks for his shots. He hits weird angles. He can use his wrestling. We've seen him do that a lot more in recent fights, and his jiu-jitsu. Strangely, Mike Perry has been doing a lot of grappling matches lately, as I saw on his Tapology profile. I don't think that's going to help him here. I just think Means is better everywhere. Means is a little chinny, as we know, but it's the shots you don't see coming that hurt you the most, I've heard. And I think he's going to see every one of Means' shots or Perry's shots that is coming. And I just have to go for Tim Means, because the better fighter is supposed to win these things. So I'm going for Tim Means by stoppage. Yes, Perry's tough. We saw Jeff Neal dust him, so it's not impossible. I think Means gets this done. I think it's going to be pretty high scoring. But if Perry walks in and dusts him with one shot, don't be surprised, because that's just how the universe works sometimes. But yeah. I'm taking Tim Means.
Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so Tim Means is the anti-Glover Teixeira in the Sun Tzu world of DraftKings and wagering. I have burned more money on Tim Means in both DraftKings and wagering than I think maybe any other fighter out there. So it's really, really hard for me to endorse Tim Means. He's been lit up. Like the other fighter on this card, Daniel Rodriguez, was essentially a handpicked opponent for Tim Means to win at home on the New Mexico card, and he totally S to B, you know, in that fight. I don't think Strapoli is all that good. Surprisingly, he was an underdog in that fight. I think that is one Tim Means fight that did not cost me money. Look, I hate all the narrative around Perry. I don't understand how the Nevada commission is allowing, you know, his pregnant girlfriend to be in his corner. I don't understand that at all. You know, him binging on burgers and pizza 2 weeks and then complaining about his weight cut. I mean, he is just a weird dude. I don't know what to do here. I mean, you know, Means is more of a professional, but, you know, Mike Perry has got that wild aggression. I do think that this might be a really interesting fight to live bet, because if it goes beyond the first round, I think, you know, the momentum could shift into Tim Means' favor. I'm going to play this like a GPP fight where I'm going to have both sides. I originally was on Perry before all this drama. I guess, geez, I'm going to stick with Perry, maybe against my better judgment here. It's not a super confident pick. It's more of a, you know, I kind of like the under in this fight as well, because I don't know that Perry is going to have the cardio to go the distance. You know, Means has been lit up and nuked before. I don't know what the odds are. I don't have them in front of me, but I probably like the does not go the distance on this fight as well. So I will stay with my Perry pick, you know, and see if the anti-Tim Means approach comes back to bite me. But I'm going to stick with Mike Perry here. It's not highly confident at all.
I'll just note that everybody who's nuked Tim Means, I would pick to beat Mike Perry. But
really?
Okay. Yeah.
Next fight up. Valentina Shevchenko, 9,600. Jennifer Maia, 6,600. For the flyweight title, it is five rounds. The line on this fight, Shevchenko is minus a shitload. The comeback on Jennifer Maia, I'll say it for real. Valentina Shevchenko, depending on the book you look at, between minus 1,350 and minus 2,000. Comeback on Jennifer Maia, depending where you look, anywhere between 790 and 950. So it's lopsided. It should be. Shevchenko's better everywhere. But that's not what we're here to talk about. You need to dust over the breakdown of this fight, unless you're picking Jennifer Maia, in which case I'm going to quit.
I'll go real quick, dude. I'll go real quick. Go ahead. Look, I think rather than like analyze this fight, because I don't really think, I mean, Shevchenko is better everywhere. I want to just give a little bit of betting advice on this fight. So Shevchenko to win by any finish on DraftKings Sportsbook is minus 200. Fight does not go the distance is minus 200, right? Those two numbers make no sense to me. Why would you not just take the do not go the distance minus 200 in case Shevchenko like falls wrong or something occurs, you know, like, so if you're going to bet the fight, like, you know, if you're going to bet Shevchenko by finish and you could get the exact same number on the fight not going the distance, play that bet, because I think that bet –
I'm looking at Five Dimes has it right. Five Dimes is inside the distance for the fight, minus 195. Shevchenko inside the distance, minus 160.
Okay, so yeah, that's a little better. But like DraftKings is like minus 200 each way. So if you're playing on the DraftKings Sportsbook, I would certainly take the does not go the distance. The other advice I would give is DraftKings advice here. You do not need to play Shevchenko, you know, in your primary GPP lineup, right? She's really expensive. And if you look at her scoring history, she does not really often score that well, right? So this fight is perfect. Look, it's a cash lock, but it's perfectly fadeable in GPPs. And I'll kind of stop there and let Chris go.
Oh, wait. Come back to me, because this is where I'm trying to rile Chris up here.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I am 100% fading Valentina Shevchenko. I'm going to have a big old goose egg.
Even in cash, or you're not playing cash?
I'm not playing cash. As well.
Okay, so as for cash, though, like you got to admit it's a lock for cash.
But what's interesting, if you can go, you get a little tricky. You could, I wouldn't stack this fight, but if you plug in Jennifer Maia at 6,600 in cash, you can do pretty much anything else you want in the rest of your lineup, which is just it's just an interesting way to look at it. I haven't gone too deep into it.
Yeah, but Sean, we can argue the same thing about the next fight.
No, because he's 600 more expensive. 600 gets a lot done. Anyway,
okay.
I'm not playing Shevchenko. Here's the reason. Shevchenko is 9,600. She needs to score 110 minimum. And everybody else in that range can't score 110. And then you got to worry about fit, and you know, there's a $300 difference to Lewis Koske, Daniel Rodriguez, 500. You know, those are big numbers. And if you look at her scoring history, like Joe mentioned, there's the only way, in my mind, Shevchenko ends up in the optimal lineup is if she finishes Jennifer Maia at the end of the first round, in the last 2 minutes of the first round, anywhere in there. The later for her, the better. So you get all 90 points. You get the extra striking time, all that stuff. I don't see her having a relentless grappling game plan. I think, you know, Maya's a kickboxer. Shevchenko, the easiest path to victory is takedowns. It's weird. Shevchenko can dominate people. She can play with her food. There's a lot of variables here. And I think the window, like if she goes out and she takes down Maya right away and submits her in the first 2 minutes, or ground and pound even, and she puts up a big score. She puts up 111. That's a great score. And it's possible it ends up on the optimal, but it's not a lock. Anybody else on this card puts up 111? It's damn near a lock. Actually, it is a lock. I said Okoske is the one exception if everybody goes bananas to end up on the optimal. Like, there's multiple paths here. And Shevchenko, just being who she is and her name in the co-main event, I don't think she's going to be 40, 50% owned like we see in the main event. I think she'll be lower than we usually see in a title fight. But 20, 30% leverage in the field, I think I'm going to go that route. If you see my name in the bigger GPPs, I'm not going to have Valentina Shevchenko. I might throw her in my mini max just because I dick around in the mini max and try some crazy stuff. But the bigger stuff, no Shevchenko for me. Chris,
well,
I riled your cage.
I must say, Sean, that I completely agree with you.
God, I'm going to hang my head in shame.
I just think that I just don't buy her as a consistent finisher, even though we've seen finishes in the past and people who don't really get finished, like Chookagian, although it's two in a row for her now, or two in quick succession. I don't remember if she had a fight after that. But yeah, I still think of her as a slow-paced striker. I think that she is. A lot of these finishes, I think, are fighting people just way below her pay grade, like Priscilla Cachoeira or Jessica Ai.
That fight should have been illegal, by the way, Cachoeira. That.
I knew that was coming. I just think that Maya's pretty good defensively. She at least keeps a nice high guard. And the one thing I will say is that we have seen Shevchenko wrestle a little bit more in these spots. So if she does get her to the ground in this division, I should say. So if she does get her to the ground, maybe she can. But I think Maya should be at least solid enough on the ground to keep herself from being run through. I think that's at least accurate to say. And yeah, I just don't see a need to invest a lot of lineups with Shevchenko, or any if you're Sean, for 9,600 in a GPP when we have so many fights that are so much more likely to finish and finish quickly. So I agree. The pick is Shevchenko but I think she's too expensive, and I don't think she pays off a GPP. And now me and Sean can hold hands and dance around.
No, let's talk about the main event where I know we can't.
Yeah.
Davison Figueiredo, 9,000, taking on Alex Turbo Perez at 7,200. And for the final time of the podcast, the line on this fight, Figueiredo -250. Comeback on Perez is +230. Fight does not go to decision, -360. Figueiredo brings the violence. I've heard now on the RotoWire staff picks, Chris is the only one to take Alex Perez. But I've heard a bunch of people taking Perez. And I get there's some value here, I guess, in the line in people's minds. I'm a believer in Figueiredo and the violence. I will admit, if he doesn't get it done early, like, he doesn't have a high volume style that a lot of flyweights have. He just doesn't. So if he doesn't score, he doesn't get a finish early, he's not going to score great, even over five rounds. It's just not his style. That being said, I'm a believer in the violence. I'm going to mix him in. I think it's a little early for Perez in his career. I think he'll be back. These guys will fight again. Just not here. Give me Figueiredo. I want Chris to defend the underdog last. So, Joe, who you got?
Okay, so I think Perez offers a tremendous amount of value on DraftKings, and I think there is certainly a path to victory for Perez, and I think this is a fight that could be really good, DraftKings. And I, you know, I've learned, you know, in my short exposure to his philosophy on breaking down fights, to respect, you know, Mr. Greg, you know, Aaron Berg. He actually lined the fight with Perez as the favorite, you know, in his own internal line. And he has got to play down on Figueiredo. You know, that.
Wait, he's got to play that. Wait, he's got to play down on who?
On, he's got to play down a plus 250. I'm sorry, on Perez. On Perez.
Okay.
Right. He's got to play down a plus 250 on Perez. And, you know, like everything except for knockout power, like, goes into the Perez corner. I honestly do think that if Perez could get through the first round.
You think he's a better grappler?
I think he's a better wrestler. I mean, for sure he's a better wrestler. He's got, like, he's got pedigree. He's got collegiate wrestling pedigree. I think he's a better wrestler. I mean, now, if you look at recency bias, I get it. Although, you know, Benavidez was not doing bad against Perez until he wasn't. you know, like, I'm sorry, against Benavidez dominated Perez. Benavidez was not doing bad against Figueiredo until he got nuked. So, you know, I'm actually thinking of changing my pick here. My initial pick for
Rota Wise. No, I need to be the only one. No.
Okay, I won't change my pick. I'll stay with Figueiredo. You know, again, but like all the metrics in my eyes, except for that one knockout blow, goes to Perez here. So I will have a lot of Perez on DraftKings. I think there's some great value at 7.2K. I would not bet Figueiredo at minus 300. I think the line is too wide. But I will stay with Figueiredo as my pick to win, so Chris can have his moment of glory.
Yeah, mostly because Chris will cry. All right, moving on. There is some sharper money than I like to admit coming in on Perez.
Well, now that Joe sucked the fun out of everything.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry. I did not change my pick officially.
I feel so good about that. You know what else there's? By the way, looking at Ed's, you know, a couple of resources for sharp money, weirdly enough, there's some money coming in Anthony Shevchenko.
I know.
I like it.
I don't see it.
That's
but
bizarre to me.
This could be a big pork chop for me because I do have a significant amount of money down on her. So
applesauce and pork chop. Just trust me.
Yeah. It's better than Fireball and popcorn. Yep.
All right. So I'm going to give my little opening as I would have if Joe. We're going to pretend that Joe went really hard on Deiveson Figueiredo. I'm going to give my opening. So I would say, yes, Sean, I am the only one in the staff picks who picked Alex Perez. I was also the only one of us who picked Jussie Formiga against Deiveson Figueiredo. And I think there's a lot of similarities here, specifically the movement, agility, and the wrestling game. And don't forget, who's that, Jared Brooks? I would argue probably should have beat Deiveson Figueiredo with his wrestling game in that fight. And I think a big X factor here is those leg kicks. Figueiredo stands very flat-footed in the cage. I think those leg kicks are going to hit home. We've seen Alex Perez stop fighters with those leg kicks. I think that's really going to give him trouble. Plus, he can mix in the wrestling. Plus, he can stay on the balls of his feet. I really like it. I think the coronation of Figueiredo is far too soon. I think Benavidez was a perfect style matchup for him. Figueiredo's longer, and Benavidez just dives in head first into the pocket. And by the way, Figueiredo's not even the only one we've seen do that to Benavidez. To that extent, it was. But who else did it was a guy you might not expect, which is Sergio Pettis in that first round. Knocked him down twice the exact same way. He would just come in. Pettis is a sharp counter striker, so we caught him. The difference, of course, being that Figueiredo is much more powerful than a Sergio Pettis. But I'm actually with Joe here when he said that I think that Perez wins this fight most ways, except for the power and potentially the jiu-jitsu. But otherwise, I really like Perez here. I think the value is, based on recency bias, we were all blown away by the complete and utter dismantling of Benavidez in that second fight. But, you know, a lot of us saw it coming, too. So, it's not like everybody wasn't on Benavidez in that fight. So, you know, not really a surprise there, but I think that Alex Perez will surprise some people, although maybe not as many as I would have thought, by claiming the title here. So the pick is Perez.
All right, guys, it is hot take time. Let's throw out some hot takes for UFC 255. Guys in chat, throw in some hot takes into the chat. I will read a couple out. Get your moment of glory on this spectacular podcast, guys. Joe, I know you have a parlay queued up, so go ahead and give your
I think it's kind of uneventful now. I mean, my parlay was, you know, it's a chick whisperer parlay. It's, you know, it's Shevchenko, Valentina. You know, it is Calvillo, and
you're
it is
minus 1500.
Yeah, parlay. I know, right? And it, well, just because I wanted to do a three team chick parlay.
Watch her get DQ'd for a knee on the
ground. My god, that would kill me. And and Cynthia Calvillo. So. That was $300 and something to win $1,000 that I bet. But what I'm really looking at right now that I like a lot, which is a 6-to-1 parlay. It is Shevchenko and Jennifer Maia do not go the distance, right? Buckley wins by finish. And the Paul Craig Hua fight does not go the distance. And because, you know, we are all Renaissance men, Coastal Carolina minus 5. So that is my four fighter.
Chanticleers.
Yeah, that is my four parlay right there, and that is 6.5-to-1. So Coastal Carolina minus 5, Shogun Hua, Paul Craig does not go the distance, Buckley wins by finish, and Shevchenko, Maya does not go the distance. 6.5-to-1.
I mean, Chris, your hot take has got to be just taking Alex Perez to win. No, you got a different one.
I was gonna be, but I wanted, in the spirit of Joe doing fights that finish and don't. I was gonna mix it up a little bit. So we can put the Alex Perez finish on the burner. I want to do three of these, and I think they're in opposition to most thought and the odds some way too. So we're gonna do Moreno Royval does finish. Hua and Craig and Shevchenko and Maya do not finish. So I don't know what that would parlay to, but I'm guessing it's a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot because Shevchenko and Maya not finishing itself is like a big number. That's plus.
I think it's like 160.
Oh, plus 160. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I thought it was higher than that, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, that'd be. Make yourself a little bit of cheese there. Yeah. All right, my hot take. We're going to go with – I don't want to get too chalky. I was going to say Jared Gooden wins by finish, but I don't think I'm going to go there.
Jared Gooden. Oh, yeah, right. I'm
Night
thinking,
Train.
Right.
Night Train.
Yeah.
Dustin Stoltzfus wins by submission.
Wow. Okay, what's that?
And my official picks, DFS Army is Dawkins, but I think Stoltzfus is probably – one of the sneakier live underdogs on the card.
What's the odds on that, Sean?
Stoltzfus by submission is, what did I just give out? I just gave out Stoltzfus round 3 inside the distance. Where's by submission? I don't even know if it's out. Wins by, oh, there it is. Plus 950.
Wow. There you go. I might have to take a little stab on that to win a grand.
Just a little bit of cheddar for you.
Yeah. Okay, all right, guys.
This was a lot of fun. Longer episode, but UFC 255 should be good.
Wait. New audience?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to read a couple. Hang on. All right. I did want to point out, because people jump off, this fight card starts at 6:30 Eastern time, yes. Joe.
I know. 6:30. I got it.
And please keep posted for lineup for fight cancellations and stuff tomorrow. Because they are in Vegas and COVID is a bitch.
I was so pissed off. It really cost me.
All right. Let's look out here. Let's see what we got. I need to look at a different place. I have some weird stuff open here. Chook and Dalby win greasy splits from Ryan Barton. I could see Chookagian doing it.
Yeah, I could see Dalby. One. I could see Dalby too.
I have a hard time with that one. Okay. But
Anybody Nan? Anybody?
Dazar says, look out, Appalachian State money line. I'm giving all kinds of betting stuff. give all kinds of betting stuff away here.
Yeah, this is going to turn into a general betting.
That's only if the fifth-year quarterback plays, which I don't think he's going to.
I don't even know what Nine just said. Deuce DeGuerra wins by sub off his back after getting crippled by a calf kick.
I don't know what that means either.
Look, man, Nine is in his own little world. I only understand like 60% of what he ever says.
An hour and 20 minutes in, and you know what? I always thought people were disinterested. They just go psychotic. What's happening?
Yeah, Nine is like one of those like high IQ guys that is in his own world.
Making money.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you for being with us. Good luck in those contests. Make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Live pay-per-view weeks, Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern. Be here. We will see you next time.
Peace.
Later, guys.